Hello, I'm Jared Olson of Forest and Main Brewing Company, and this is the Brewer to Brewer podcast from All About Beer. My guest is Amanda Cardinale of The Seed, a living beer project, and she is here for a conversation that goes beyond the brew house and into topics that matter to brewing professionals and curious beer drinkers. First, please visit allaboutbeer.com and follow on social media at All About Beer. And to support journalism in the beer space, check out patreon.com/allaboutbeer. We'll get into the conversation in just a minute, but first this message.
Bright, tart, and fruity. That's what you expect from hibiscus flower. First Tee's clients have added hibiscus to craft beer and hard seltzers to create tangy Juneteenth refreshment and add Caribbean character. With hibiscus and other botanicals from First Tee, your next summer launch will hit the spot. Email info at First Tee, that's FirstTeea.com, to discover the perfect teas and botanicals for your next project.
For more than a decade, the Beer Law Center has been dedicated to the craft beverage industry, meeting the legal needs of breweries, wineries, distilleries, and all manner of alcohol producers and sellers around the country. From company formation to federal and state licensing, trademarks, regulations, and compliance, or if you're buying or selling an alcohol business, the Beer Law Center should be your first call. The firm never charges for an initial consultation, and if they can't help you, they'll help you find someone that can. Have a legal question? Contact the Beer Law Center on social media at Beer Law Center and online at beerlawcenter.com.
Ironheart Canning is the quality leader in mobile canning and much more. With a decade of packaging experience, Ironheart is your turnkey solution for all your canning needs. Ironheart has no minimums on their mobile service, great supply chain quality control like no other, as well as technical support programs. Need canning materials? Ironheart has you covered with cans by the pallet or the trailer load, Pactex case trays, and can ends as well. Ironheart Canning. You have the capability because Ironheart can do it for you. Visit them at ironheartcanning.com or email info@ironheartcanning.com.
Malt Europe Malting Company is based in North America, specializing in growing and producing quality malts for the craft beer and distilling industries. With local farms and malt houses spread across the United States, Canada, and Mexico, MMC's commitment to excellence is fully ingrained into every batch it produces, ensuring breweries and distilleries of any size can create the finest beverages on the planet. Visit MaltEuropeMaltingCo.com to learn how Malt Europe can support your malting needs. Or you can contact them at CustomerSuccess@MaltEurope.com or call 844-546-MALT for questions or to place your order. Malt Europe, premium grains from field to flavor.
Okay, let's get into it. A bit about my guest today. Amanda Cardinale is a founder, owner, and production lead of Atlantic City, New Jersey-based The Seed, a living beer project. Amanda has been brewing professionally for over a decade, and during that time has developed a tremendous passion for the marriage between local ingredients and fermentation. Whether it be through local grain-focused lager or local agriculture-focused mixed culture beer, Amanda uses The Seed to build a community and ethos focused on embracing, preserving, and sharing the bounties of the local area, always advocating for focused and intentional ingredient selection and a similar attention to detail on the process side. Amanda is the beacon of the local ingredient movement in the tri-state area. Outside of running the brewery, Amanda loves spending time adventuring with her dog, Brett, hiking, traveling, expanding, and caring for a never-ending collection of houseplants and reading. Amanda, welcome. It's great to see you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to chat today. When I told, everybody else at the brewery that we were going to be having this chat, everybody was just like, oh, awesome. That's going to be so great. Amanda's awesome. And aww. I don't know. That's they really also said, they said to say hello as well.
I'll tell them hi.
Yeah. And I feel like that just kind of speaks to like why I kind of wanted to chat, like you and like your brewery. I feel like it feels just so special to us and like everybody here at Forest and Main. We've done a couple collabs together at this point, and after each one, like we all like leave just like feeling so like inspired and pumped. I feel like you guys have such like a cool, just like authentic character. And just like you and the whole team just seems like so passionate about what you're doing. It just feels like really, really contagious.
Oh man, thanks so much.
Yeah.
We really have you to thank. You guys are a huge inspiration to us. Definitely gave us kind of that extra like push and confidence to be okay opening a brewery that focuses on, you know, low ABV, like English inspired beer and Saison first and foremost. Yeah, we've been following you forever. Happy belated anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, like I feel like we feel like connected to you guys and like your brewery. Like the obvious thing is like we have such similar interest in like the types of beers we do, and even like within those beers, like it seems like the way we approach them feels so similar. But I feel like even like beyond that, like just the way you guys are able to kind of like, I don't know, like tell the story about like the beers you're doing, just like feels, I don't know, like you guys just have that like really dialed in somehow, or like somehow like your character and personality like comes through. And I'm kind of curious, like, do you think about that? Like, is that something that like just kind of comes naturally, or like this is the only way we could do this? Or like, do you like give thought to that like storytelling, trying to like convey your personality as like a brewery, like through what you're putting out there, I guess. Does that make any sense?
I think, yeah, it does. I think for us, telling our story is like one of the most important things. I mean, especially nowadays, there are so many breweries out there making really good beer. So to us, that's sometimes like not enough. We kind of want people to know like, this is what we're trying to tell you and what we want you to experience when you have our beer, when you're in our tasting room. I don't know. I think that kind of makes it us a little bit more connected to our drinker and more connected to like our story and what we're trying to do. And we want people to like have one of our beers and be like, oh, that's a seed beer. Like I'm kind of picking up what they're putting down. I just was reading a post that we were tagged in by one of our regulars, and he wrote like, it tastes like home. And that was like one of the best compliments I think I could ever receive. Cause I don't know. I just really like truly appreciated that sentiment. And I feel like it's very fulfilling to like see that people are actually like picking that up from us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I know, like we like pick up on that, you know, like the collabs we've done, and like, it's like contagious. So like, I have to think that like customers pick up on that too, you know? And I like, in a way, I feel like that kind of storytelling, like it lends itself to some of the beers like we made, like especially Saison. Like there's just always so much like a story, like you can talk about the ingredients or how you fermented it. There's like always multi, you know, steps to that kind of production. But I feel like with you guys, like it comes through like in the lagers and like the hazy beers. Like I see like a post on Instagram or something, I'm like, oh, that's like a seed post, you know, before I even like, you know, read or get to actually like see who it is. And I, like you said, like there are so many breweries out there that are doing great stuff, like that isn't enough. So like that extra piece, I feel like that's for us, like, I think like why you guys stand out as like being special, because like, you're not just a great brewery, like making great beer, like you have this like extra like authenticity or like passion behind it that like just really comes through.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, so like when we've gotten together, we did a collab recently. We brewed some mild. You guys were on the mild March Mildness train.
So fun.
That was a good one. When like we leave those things coming inspired from the collabs, but like it just seems like Like your whole team seems like jazzed up about like what's going on at the seed. Like it just seemed like everybody there was like stoked about like upcoming projects or like what they're working on right now. Do you think like having like your team like that, like is that something you guys try to like foster actively, or is it just kind of natural to like the people you've kind of like brought on board?
I would say we definitely are very lucky with our team, and they're like filled with stoke at all times. But I also think like I know what makes me excited, and I think that like also makes everyone else excited, which is really cool. I think
You mean like when they see you excited about something?
yeah, and then like I can kind of like explain like, all right, here's what I'm thinking, like let's do this, and then like they can kind of feed into it. And I feel like we're all so we have such a small team that everyone's very involved in like every single step of the way. So I don't know. I don't know. That Chris and Brandon in the back also, this is the first brewery that they've worked in, so I feel like they're just still like very like filled with life and excitement and like constantly willing to like learn and try new things. And I know that I got bored making the same, however many beers over and over and over again. So we don't really do that here as much. So I think that also kind of helps. Like we're always kind of switching up our schedule and changing things and trying to squeeze things in. And like the amount of Saison we make too, I think just also is super exciting because it's, they're those beers are always they keep us on our toes. 'Cause, we're never going to know exactly how they turn out, or we can be like, oh, actually, let's get this tank like cleared up for next week because the wisteria is popping right now. Like, oh, we can run to the farm and grab calendula. Like, let's try to fit that in. So I feel like, we're trying to keep it fun, I guess, as fun as you can keep it. I mean, our system, it's sweaty and hard, but we try to keep it.
Are you guys able to like stay that kind of spontaneous with Saison production, like when you see like an opportunity like that to be able to like jump on it and
I'm going to try my hardest to always try to fit that in. We were literally just talking like an hour ago. I have a Saison on the schedule, but I'm like, I don't know if I can give up this fermenter, but maybe we can move this around and brew it into our, like, we have one fermenter that's strictly funky, and then we have one that we use for like our clean Saison yeast, but during the summer it basically becomes an IPA tank. But I'm not quite ready to like give it up to IPA yet, but I might have to. So there is still kind of like a little bit of juggling, but we're all kind of aware that like this is, flower season. It's soon to be fruit season. So we gotta kind of be a little flexible and figure out how we can make it all work.
And will you try to like make that work kind of like with existing stock of Saison, like stuff you have in barrels, or more like a new, like a fully like new idea? It's like, whoa, I passed this field of like blooming stuff. Let's brew a saison that incorporates that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the ingredient. We add a lot of flowers hot side, so then I don't have to usually make something new. For fruit, it's for existing. So that does give us kind of a little wiggle room.
Yeah, I totally associate you guys with flowers.
Thank you.
Yeah, just even like being in the brewery, like you guys have so many like plants like everywhere, and flowers like in the beers, but then there's also like dried flowers everywhere. Like even just like that imagery, I feel like connotes like your approach and personality to saisons.
Yeah, I have a small plant addiction.
Yeah.
I don't know. Flowers can be very happy, so I assume I can't be alone on that.
Yeah. Do you like have any like, did you come to like using flowers and herbs just through brewing, or do you have any like herbalism kind of background or anything?
No, just really through brewing.
Yeah, I feel like I recognize like some of the stuff you use. Like my wife like was into some like herbal medicine stuff, and like calendula was one that like she would always have. And I feel like I always see that in like your beers and It seems like it's a favorite of Seed.
It is. We do have a big soft spot for calendula. We also, one of the farms we work with, Walking Bird Farm, it's like a 5-minute drive from my house, and they grow it. So Jen is always texting me like, all right, calendula's ready. Come and get it. So it's also, you know, a little bit convenient and always like, I don't know, fun to work with them and put a piece of their farm in our beer.
Yeah, for sure. I love like ingredients like that where, you know, volume wise, they're so small compared to like malt, but they can like pack such like an impact. And then like kind of to be able to source that locally is great.
Yeah, it's super fun. And yeah, it's kind of funny to work with. I just got an email. Someone was asking about calendula and they were like, when do you use it? How much do you use? Like what? And I'm like, oh man, like I wish that I had better answers, but I'm like, I kind of pick it until like my back hurts and then we use it. And I don't know. I wish that I had a better answer, but but I don't.
You guys like throw herbs and stuff, not just into like saisons, but like into some like lagers and stuff too. Yeah.
We do. Not that often, but, well, the lager we made with y'all and Tonewood, I think that was the first lager we put flowers in, which was super fun. And we actually brought that beer to a meeting we had at Ocean Casino. Last year was their 5th birthday, and they wanted us to make a beer for them. And we brought like a plethora of styles, and they drank that one. And they were like, this is the one. And we're like, wow, was not expecting that at all. This like weird little beer with like aged hops and flowers. So we kind of tweaked it a bit, and we're brewing that for them again this year. So it's calendula. And then last year we used aged hops. This year we're using fresh. But yeah.
Nice. And who was that for again? I kind of missed that.
Oh, Ocean Casino. Oh, yeah. I was very surprised that that was the route that they took. But I mean, it's kind of cool for us because it's super fun for us to make that beer. But it's not what I was expecting, like, you know, to go over that well. But
right.
I don't know. Hope it surprises.
Yeah. You never know.
Never know.
Is like the casino just kind of made me think of like where you guys are at in Atlantic City. And it's like, I feel like it doesn't like jump to mind as like a place where like this cool, quirky Saison brewery can find a home, but like you guys have, and like have what seems like a pretty awesome like community base there. Like, do you guys feel like you fit in Atlantic City and like this is the spot for you?
I mean, now for sure. We weren't looking here originally when we were looking for a space. This space kind of like fell into our laps. But I like at this point, I really can't picture us anywhere else. And I do feel like AC is really growing, and like a lot of like music and art and good food, like it's all happening. And I don't know, I just feel like the vibes are good. And it also is kind of fun to like put this weird like farmhousey brewery in the middle of like, you know, the Atlantic City.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the timing of like when you guys opened and like to have a sense of community is also like so interesting. Like you guys pretty much were like just opened or just about to open, like right when the pandemic hit. Is that right?
Yeah. We opened October 2020. So we were only open for can sales to go until like early February of 21. And that's when we started letting people in, but obviously like at a very limited capacity.
That must have been like, I don't know, so scary. Like you're spending so much time, so much energy, like getting a place ready. And then like the world gets like flipped upside down and there's so much uncertainty.
It was definitely unsettling. In a way, so Sean still has a full-time job. So he was able to work from home slash work from the brewery. So I think that actually helped a lot. Like there was a lot of things that I thought that I was going to be able to do by myself. But I think it would have taken us forever if it really just depended on me to get most of the things done alone. So that was like a weird blessing to have him like to myself for so long, like just us in this brewery, like getting things finished and ready and like brewing together. Because originally I was just going to basically brew alone. But obviously having hands is really, really nice. And it kind of helped us like ease into being open. So like hand sales were nice because I mean it was weird. Like we're opening this thing that we've been working on for years and we can't even like allow people to come in. Like we never had a grand opening or like it was definitely not what we envisioned, but it was also like kind of nice to just ease our way in and like get comfortable and like learn our POS and like you know kind of figure out things without being like completely like crazy busy from the first moment, you know?
In a way, like take some of like the initial pressure off. Do you think like since then, like things have settled into what you thought they were going to be, or do you think that kind of like forever like changed the trajectory of like how you guys approach stuff?
I don't know. I feel like I thought that I had a pretty good understanding of like what to expect. Like I give a lot of credit to people who open breweries that didn't work in a brewery beforehand. Because I feel like it's impossible to really like predict what's going to happen. But even now, like even my day to day is constantly kind of changing and shifting, and I'm trying to like, you know, be okay with letting go of certain things, because I have other things to do. I know that you kind of talked about that a little bit in your discussion, just like well, like I was the person mashing in and now I'm not. Like, what am I doing? So it's, I don't know. I don't know.
No, that's been like a tricky one for me over the years. Like what is like your week look like? Like what's your like role on an average week these days?
Kind of depends on the week. I mean, now it's a lot more like being on my computer, which is a total drag for me. It's like I'll talk to other people who have like either own breweries or like are moving up in ranks and like maybe aren't like as hands-on production anymore. And I'm like, well, don't you miss mashing in? And they're like, God, no. And I'm like, is something wrong with me? Like, all I want to do is be in the cellar, like flipping a tank. And then I'm like the happiest that I could possibly be. So I like try to like get back there. Saison days are good for me because that usually means like, you know, I'm involved in blending and it's more of like a group project. But for now it's, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get back to it, but we'll see.
And I feel like it's one of those things that just like it's never static. Like it always like evolves and changes, and like we keep like growing as people. And I don't know. It's cool to see where it's gonna go, I guess.
I agree. It is. It's kind of wild. Yeah, I don't know. I had no idea what to expect. I think the fact that we're, you know, 3.5 years old and like can focus making a lot of lager and saison, like that is something that I don't think I was expecting. I mean, we built our brew house for saison. I know that that was like a terrible idea, but it just is what felt right. So now making a lot of lagers, like pretty funny to do on it, especially like the way that we decocked. Yeah, I don't know. Well, Brandon and Chris are troopers.
I think I saw like some picture that like there's a lot of like just shoveling involved with decoction for you guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of like filling buckets with boiling hot liquid and dumping it, and yeah. Yeah, the things we do. And again, like in my head, it definitely like adds to our pale lagers, but does it really? I'm not sure. But we're gonna keep doing it because that's what we do.
I'm sure it does. I feel like, I get like I second guess stuff like that because I'll read an article that's like it's no different, or like a modern malt doesn't need to go through this or whatever. But I know it's doing something. I know like just like random beers that had a slightly different like production, even like a mishap or something. Like sometimes, like I swear, like the beers that get like a stuck sparge somehow like end up being like the best batches of a certain version of a beer or something. But
Definitely happened here. Or like, well, I forget exactly what happened, but during one of our mild brew days, we had to change our boil time for whatever reason. And then that came out and we're like, this is the best one yet. So like, it just kind of stuck. And we're like, well, I know it was like kind of tragic, whatever happened that day, for us to adjust it, but now that's just regular SOP. It is kind of
Yeah.
all that happens.
Sometimes I bring like an almost like a baseball superstitious like character to production. It's like, oh well, if this happened on that day, then I need to, wear these socks.
I
But
like that.
so you guys, your like equipment, like you said you like set up the brew house like for Saison brewing. Like, could you talk about like how, like what you guys kind of mean by that? Just like it, the fact that it's more hands-on or.
Yeah, I mean, our mash tun is converted dairy tank. So for some reason, and I still don't really know why, Sean and I both separately envisioned like a big horizontal dairy tank as our mash tun, and like just pictured, like I don't know, there's just something like really dreamy about it, I guess. So yeah, all of our, no rakes, no auger, everything gets dumped and stirred. Our heat exchanger is probably four sizes too small. It's it's been we've come a long way with lager now. But in the beginning it was kind of crazy.
You guys have to like, aside from like decoction or something, like change your process much for like Saison versus like other beers you're brewing or?
Not really. It's all pretty much the same. The only thing for Saison is obviously like if we're doing some type of like flour or whatever addition, we have this beer series called The Garden to Walk In, and it's our like we call it like clean-ish Saison. So it ferments clean in stainless and never sees oak, but we package everything out of our blending tanks, and that they're all less than clean. So it doesn't usually sit in there for too long, but it still definitely picks up whatever's hanging out in there. One of those in particular, we collected a bunch of stuff from Walking Bird and around. Sean does a lot of foraging like around his work. So we had sumac and raspberry canes and flowers, and I'm probably missing a million things, but it was a bit too much just to like bag and throw in our kettle. So we lined our whole mash tun with everything and then pumped the wort back into the mash tun and let it steep in there with all of the forageables, and then basically knocked out from there. So that was super fun. Chris has a really cool video of it. I'll have to show you.
Huh,
I'll
neat.
send it
Yeah,
to you after.
almost like a herbal hop back kind of thing, huh?
Exactly, yep.
Nice. I think why don't we take a short break for this message, and then we'll come right back for more of this conversation with Amanda Cardinale.
This episode is brought to you by First Tea, who invites you to add the mouth-watering tartness and deep red color of hibiscus to your summertime pale ales, gozes, and wheat beers. First Tea is your source for hibiscus and teas that add bright, fresh colors and flavor. Email info@firsttea.com, that's FIRSTTEA.com, for support in choosing the right botanicals and the optimal ways to use them.
For more than a decade, the Beer Law Center has been dedicated to the craft beverage industry, meeting the legal needs of breweries, wineries, distilleries, and all manner of alcohol producers and sellers around the country. From company formation to federal and state licensing, trademarks, regulations, and compliance, or if you're buying or selling an alcohol business, the Beer Law Center should be your first call. The firm never charges for an initial consultation, and if they can't help you, they'll help you find someone that can. Have a legal question? Contact the Beer Law Center on social media at Beer Law Center and online at beerlawcenter.com.
Malt Europe Malting Company is based in North America, specializing in growing and producing quality malts for the craft beer and distilling industries. With local farms and malt houses spread across the United States, Canada, and Mexico, MMC's commitment to excellence is fully ingrained into every batch it produces, ensuring breweries and distilleries of any size can create the finest beverages on the planet. Visit MaltEuropeMaltingCo.com to learn how Malt Europe can support your malting needs. Or you can contact them at CustomerSuccess@MaltEurope.com or call 844-546-MALT for questions or to place your order. Malt Europe, premium grains from field to flavor.
All right, welcome back. So Amanda, we're talking a little bit about Saison production. You mentioned like you have like a clean Saison strain or tank. Do you kind of have like two, like in a way, like families of Saison production then?
Well, not really. Basically everything ends up being funky. But there are a few beers that start in stainless and then usually either get blended or like Garden to Walk In never sees oak, but again, it, you know, hangs out in our blending tank. But it's all, I mean, it's, yeah, it's clean. It's diastaticus, which is fine. You know, I trust guys to clean our tanks well. But besides that, mostly everything goes into oak. So we do, even if we use our fermenter just for like space reasons to ferment, and sometimes we'll just go straight from there into barrels. It really just depends on like what our game plan is that time.
Yeah, that's pretty similar to how most all our beers do. They'll do like a clean, it's a mixed culture, but it like acts very clean, primary fermentation, and then goes into barrels. I've always kind of find that like some of those early fermentation flavors, like while I might not like see those in the packaged beer, you know, months or like years later, I often think that like there's like precursor flavors that are being produced, you know, that maybe just like the clove or like the fruity esters that this primary yeast is putting out like gets transformed, you know, over the course of the beer's aging. Do you guys see anything similar to that, or is there stuff that you do that like, you know, you expect to get kind of like transformed over time?
That's a good question. And now I feel like I wish I could, like, I want to, next time I fill, sometimes we'll like knock out into a barrel and then fill the fermenter after. But I'd be really curious to kind of like taste what we filled, like taste that barrel versus the fermenter and kind of just see like those like first stages, how they do differ. Yeah, I don't know. Now I want to pay attention to that more. I try to like fill a barrel and forget about it, because then I'll just be like, do you think it's ready? Is it ready? And then now like Sean has the least amount of patience, I think, when it comes to that. And now it's rubbing off on, I think, Chris mostly. We'll package something and then like a week later they'll be like, should we try it? And I'm like, no. No, forget it exists. So that's what I kind of try to do.
Yeah. I think patience is one of the best skills for a Saison brewer. Yes. But kind of associated with that, I often thought it was like almost like a laziness, you know, like if I just like didn't get to, you know, certain barrels, they were going to benefit from my lack of attention for a few months.
Yeah, know? No, I definitely think it's the same here. Like it is kind of like comforting to be like, all right, we just filled four barrels. Like we don't have to think about those for a minute, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. With those types of beers, do you guys typically like have an end like goal or like image in mind, or is it kind of like, this is our idea and we'll see what it tastes like in 6 months or something?
Mostly the latter. There are really right now only two brands that we make like regularly, and that's Garden to Walk In and then Poetry in Motion, which is like our take on beer decoupage. But besides that, it's really just like we'll taste barrels and then figure out if they need to be blended and then go from there. Or like if we'll taste a barrel and be like, this could really pop with fruit, this could really pop with a dry hop. So it really kind of depends. We have another beer in our funky fermenter right now called Wheatfields and Swallows. That was a beer that we really wanted to open with and have it kind of be like our house saison. But it was actually our first, technically it was our first brew day. We filled barrels with that, the wort for it. But we didn't have, I don't think we had our glycol set up yet. So our knockout was a little warmer than we wanted. So barrels are still hanging out and they're a little weird. So I'm not giving up on them yet. They've been topped off like a million times because that was in, I think we brewed that beer in August of 2020 or something like that. But we have it now sitting in a fermenter that we recently picked up that hopefully we can get in package very soon. So hopefully that will also kind of be like a repeat beer that will have like, okay, this is, you know, I'm kind of flexible with the recipe. We kind of use saison days as like, well, what do we have? Like, what do we, like, what has kind of been sitting around for a minute? Or like, how can I incorporate, you know, this open bag of spelt or this half bag of Cascade or whatever we're trying to use. But those are more beers that I kind of follow at least a loose recipe for, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to kind of do it both ways, I think, to kind of like work with what you have and make that work. And then to also like kind of have an idea in a way, like both approaches can feel like really artistic to me. You know, I think like the approach of kind of like using with what's on hand or like the tank or barrel space you have available or like what's in season, I feel like that feels like really creative and artistic and like connecting to like that kind of like the farmhouse, like kind of romantic history that we've learned about like saison brewing. That's always kind of fun and easy to connect to. But then also like having like a vision for this like beautiful beer that you want to see through, you know, the whole way with like a goal in mind, that also feels like a different sort of like creative expression in a way.
I agree. Both are fun for sure.
With like, do you guys, you use like Rabbit Hill for like most of your like local malt sourcing? Is that in all the beers or just like the saisons or?
So we essentially use some portion of Rabbit Hill in all of our beers. I think the only beer that maybe some of our English beer doesn't get it, but maybe like one or two of them, especially now that Hillary is making like her version of Maris Otter. So I'll do like, you know, a sprinkle of that plus Maris Otter. But besides that, our lagers and our saisons are basically 100% Rabbit Hill. I think we're up to like 60% of our malt usage or something. Last year was all Rabbit Hill.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I feel super lucky to have them and to have like such a good relationship with Hillary. Like we talk constantly. So yeah, I definitely feel like that helps kind of perpetuate like what we're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like that connection to like your sense of place and everything, which like feels so natural in like the saison beers. You know, you have like a microbial, you know, connection, you have like the herbs and fruits. Malt is like that other piece, but I think it's also awesome that you guys do it with like your lager beers, because like there's such like a, you know, a more clean, like open palate to like let that, you know, local malt character come through.
For sure. It's been really fun. You know, and it's fun for us, I guess, to kind of like pick a lager style and then just do like our version of it. So it's like our Like, we don't make necessarily like a Czech lager or Schwarz beer or anything like that. Like, well, it's kind of like it's just pale lager, but it's inspired by this. Or like our dark lager is inspired by Schwarz beer, but it's not because it's ours and it's, a lot of Hillary's grain and just different. So for good or for bad, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think most definitely for good. For good. Your guys' lagers are great.
I mean, I love it as well, but you're not, if you're going into it thinking you're getting something, it's you're probably not getting that. Inspired by.
Yeah, we definitely, especially with lagers, lean toward like the inspired by in quotes. With lagers, like, obviously, like using the Rabbit Hill malt gets you like that local character coming through. But I feel like when we were at your guys' place, tasting your water, like your water was so soft. Like I feel like that it's such a neutral ingredient. It's like the major ingredient in beer making. And for the most part, I feel like it's something like even brewers, like when you're tasting beer, like don't really think about, we think about it like when we're on, developing a recipe or like on brew day, but like when you're actually drinking the beer, I feel like it's rare to think about the water that was involved. But maybe it's because I had like a glass of water next to the beer that we were tasting. But like I remember, like I think Sean like had a water report handy at the time, and I was just like astonished at how soft the Atlantic City water was.
We were too. I was not expecting that. Like, I had no idea what to expect and what kind of like filtration system we would need. But yeah, we got that report back and we're like, oh, this is amazing. So we really don't adjust our water at all. Yeah, our lagers and saison, really, it's just adjusting little like a little lactic or citric just for pH. But besides that, we try to keep it. I mean, we adjust it for IPAs, but that's really it.
Do you know, I don't know if I asked this when we were there, like, do you know when or where the like water really comes from? Like, it's just so weird that like Atlantic City is like an island. It's by like the ocean. Like my parents have a place in South Jersey and the water there tastes gross. But like who knew the Atlantic City water was so soft and pure?
No, yeah, I certainly didn't. I should know, and I think I did know because I feel like one of my friends told me that like whatever wherever it comes from was voted like top water source, however many years ago or whatever. So I remember trying to like fact check that, but it's honestly escaping me right now. I'm sorry.
Are there like, sorry, just lost something right here. With the you said the forget the name of it, I'm sorry. It was like the beer de coupage, poetry in motion, was it? So is that like you're trying to, so a beer de coupage, you're taking like fresh beer and then blending in some like old, like more mature, funky stock. Are you shooting for like the same beer from time to time, like each time you package it? Or is it just kind of like this year's version is going to have this character?
Yeah, I don't, that's a good question. I feel like they do kind of always have some kind of like cohesion. It could just be in my head. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I think it's really just like what tastes good. And even if it is completely different, that's okay. We do have one, so that beer is named after Sean's grandma, and we have a barrel named after her. So we actually have used the barrel named after her twice now. So I feel like that those two kind of, probably resemble each other a little bit more than if we're blending it with something else. But besides that, it's really just kind of like whatever we think is vibing at the time.
So it's more like just beer de coupage, like this kind of process is the goal initially anyway. And then for the For the young beer portion of that, is that like a clean saison, or is that like already kind of funky when you blend it?
It's clean. Usually just a little more hop forward and fermented in stainless with our clean strain.
Sorry, I have some specific questions about this one. We were talking about doing something kind of similar recently at the brewery.
Okay.
When you guys blend that, then is there like, is it get like blended and packaged right away, or do you kind of like let the two kind of like mellow together for a little bit first?
It probably really depends on our schedule. But I would say most of the time they do kind of like hang out together in the blending tank. I mean, it's not necessarily that long. I think this past we just packaged that a new version of that. I think that was last week, and I would say it probably sat in the blending tank for maybe a week. I'm sure there's been times where it's longer and times it's been shorter. It really just depends on when we can kind of carve out time to package, because that's kind of a all day affair.
Is like the like do both those beers kind of finish at the same spot, or is like there more residual sugar left in like the younger beer?
Yeah, usually that one finishes a little higher, but I'm kind of just guessing. I mean, I'll take gravity like before we package it, but then I'll just kind of guess on where I think it will finish and kind of hope for the best.
Yeah. I think we have a very similar approach. When we like can condition beers, you know, the beers are like at like a terminal gravity, but like I kind of will anticipate that there might be a little farther terminal. So it sounds like some kind of similar.
Yeah, no, we do the same thing. I just, I kind of like under like I kind of give myself like, all right, it would be cool if it were carved to this many volumes, but if it is a little less, it'll be okay. If it's a little more, it should be okay.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry to all of my staff that support them on draft. I love you all.
Yeah. Do you guys like prime those the same like for bottles and for kegs?
Yeah, we went through like a short phase where we were trying to remember, like, all right, let's keg off first and then we'll add more sugar for bottles. And then half the time we forgot to do that. Some are a little less on tap and some are not. And I just am very grateful for flow control faucets
Yeah, absolutely.
and patient people.
Do any of those like kegs see distro for you guys, or are they all in-house?
A little bit, more so in New York. New Jersey, really not so much, if at all. I think maybe we've sent like one or two out, and it's for like beer dinners or like special occasions or something. But yeah, New York will get a handful. Philly and Pennsylvania haven't yet, but we actually just had a meeting with our distributor yesterday, and we're trying to figure out if that would be something like down the line that we could make happen. But it's a harder sell. It's a little more expensive. They're hard to pour. They're
Yeah.
probably to sell.
You
So
guys
don't
send a
a
good
lot
bit
of
of.
them stay here or go to like, what'd you say?
You guys send a good bit of like firkins to Philly area, right?
We haven't in a minute, but we actually just got some empties to fill. So I'm hoping, I actually was trying to fit in a batch of, I don't know yet, mild or bitter or something soon, but our calendar is a little bit crazy.
It's funny to think of like sending like these kind of like two extremes of like re-fermentation in the package out into the world, like these like low carb firkins and then these super high carb funky saisons.
That is kind of funny. Yeah, very, very different animals.
Yeah. You guys pour like firkins at your tap room as well?
We have, yeah. I mean, hand engines are on our very long list of things that we would like to have one day. So we just kind of tap them on the bar for like anniversary or something that we think like maybe we'll have a decent turnout of people here. We've only done it a handful of times, but it's been pretty well received. I think it's been really fun for us to see like there. I mean, not we try to avoid this, but there have been times where like we just won't have like IPA on tap, which I always felt like incredibly bad, like because obviously a lot of people are still really into IPA and coming here to drink that, and then you know someone would have to break the news to them that they're here and no, we don't have a single IPA to drink. But I feel like with that happening, so many people are learning that they actually like other things too. And I feel like that has been extremely fun to kind of like witness. And there are days where like I'll look around the tasting room and like just see like well, I mean, it was just March, so this is probably fresh in my head, seeing like all the people drinking mild. Yeah, just tons of lager and like Saison, and it's been super cool. So I feel like having a cask too, like people are just kind of like willing to be like, oh, what's that, what's new, like why is that different, why is that in there? So I think they're kind of becoming a little more like open-minded and willing to try new things here.
Yeah, well, it's like they come, I was thinking about this recently actually, because we've been taking on like similar distro, but like we kind of come from this like small brew pub origin. And just the kind of like different approach to like the customer in a way, like they're coming to you guys like to come to the seed first, not to come, you know, for a specific beer. That they're not like shopping for a beer on a shelf, you know, they're going to the seed. And then, so it's like, that's the first sell, just like getting them to your place. And then like, once they're there, it's kind of like, they trust you, you know, like they're going to like trust what you have to offer. And like, it just, I don't know, more opportunity to explore, I guess. More opportunity to like kind of educate the customer in a way, maybe.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and that was like a big thing that Sean and I really wanted to push when we first opened, like especially for Saison, because not a lot of people in New Jersey make it. And, you know, it gets poured differently. It gets poured in a different type of glass. It gets poured with a ton of head. Like that's a lot of things that people have never maybe seen before. And even just explaining like, why is that different than like what people call a sour, you know, like there is still some education to be had. So I don't know. It's been fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Do you like work on that like with your staff, or is it just kind of like natural, like with customers that come in, or is there like a specific kind of way you approach it or talk about it with people?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely went over, especially our pours with staff, because we have in the summer, mostly like people wander to come to us. They just, I think, Google like brewery near me and come here, which is great because they're, you know, on vacation down the shore, whatever. But I think those are the times when we really have to like get kind of be prepared to explain ourselves a little bit more. So we definitely have had, you know, several staff meetings for like, this is, you know, why your Saison pours look like this. This is, you know, why lagers are poured on the lucre or whatever. But people are usually pretty understanding. And once you give them an explanation, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I often find that like people, like, I don't know, they might not go looking for that explanation initially, but like once they get it, it's like, they're glad to have had it, you know, like it's an added conversation that they can have at the bar. And then ideally, yeah, they just kind of like spread that love, right?
That's the hope. Or back and leave like a terrible Google review. It's all there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, Amanda, this has been great chatting. Is there anything else that you want to chat about, talk about, brag about?
I don't off the top of my head. I am, just to tell you, trying to get my hands on some of our collab. I think I'm getting some this week. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to try it.
Nice. Yeah, it's going pretty quick.
Pearl Malt ever since we talked about it. And I'm like, I need to know.
Nice. Yeah. No, we were really happy with it. Yeah. Oh.
That's so exciting. Yeah, we definitely have to make beer again because I think we feel the same way working with y'all. Like, we leave and we're all very excited. Like, that was Maggie's first collab day, and she left and she's like, that was awesome. Like, what a great experience. Like, can I do that all the time? And like, that's sometimes you need that. You need to like step out of your own space and like remember why we're all doing this.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like maybe like years ago, collabs had kind of like more of like a sales like vibe to them. Like people were excited about a collab because it combined these two like ultimate, breweries, and then they get this like Voltron character,
Yeah.
but now I just look at them much more just like selfishly. It's just like I love getting out of the house and like getting inspired again. And like you guys are so inspiring. It's awesome.
Thank you. Right back at you.
All right. Well, thanks again, Amanda.
Thank you. Thanks so much for wanting to chat.
Yeah. Amanda will be back on the next episode of this show as the host, having a conversation with the brewer of her choosing. That will be on the air in 2 weeks, so make sure you tune in for that. Visit allaboutbeer.com and follow on social media. And to support journalism in the beer space, check out patreon.com/allaboutbeer. I'm Jared Olson of Forest and Main. Thank you for listening to the Brewer to Brewer podcast.
First Tee is a proud sponsor of the Brewer to Brewer podcast. First Tee invites you to explore the rich and versatile world of teas and botanicals, including hibiscus. Email info@firsttea.com. That's FIRSDTEA.com to find out more.
Ironheart Canning is the quality leader in mobile canning and much more. With a decade of packaging experience, Ironheart is your turnkey solution for all your canning needs. Are you looking for a unique can size or nitro dosing? Ironheart offers filling sizes from 6 ounce up to 19.2, dedicated equipment for mixed culture products, and nitro dosing capabilities for still beverages and beer. Looking to break into other beverage segments? Look no further. Ironheart also provides a robust network of co-packing solutions to get a variety of beverages in cans, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic alike. Ironheart Canning. You have the capability because Ironheart can do it for you. Visit them at ironheartcanning.com or email info@ironheartcanning.com.
For more than a decade, the Beer Law Center has been dedicated to the craft beverage industry, meeting the legal needs of breweries, wineries, distilleries, and all manner of alcohol producers and sellers around the country. From company formation to federal and state licensing, trademarks, regulations, and compliance, or if you're buying or selling an alcohol business, the Beer Law Center should be your first call. The firm never charges for an initial consultation, and if they can't help you, they'll help you find someone that can. Have a legal question? Contact the Beer Law Center on social media at Beer Law Center and online at beerlawcenter.com.
Malt Europe Malting Company is based in North America, specializing in growing and producing quality malts for the craft beer and distilling industries. With local farms and malt houses spread across the United States, Canada, and Mexico, MMC's commitment to excellence is fully ingrained into every batch it produces, ensuring breweries and distilleries of any size can create the finest beverages on the planet. Visit MaltEuropeMaltingCo.com to learn how Malt Europe can support your malting needs. Or you can contact them at customersuccess@MaltEurope.com or call 844-546-MALT for questions or to place your order. Malt Europe, premium grains from field to flavor.